So if Lucy is available, I see she is, then we will now have a look at agenda item 5. Welcome back, Lucy.
Thank you. Hopefully we'll be quick on this one.
You shouldn't have said that.
No, it's worked before, it has. This is our friend, the IS-37 contingency provisions issue with our discount rate and own credit. As you know, we discussed it at the November meeting, also January. So this is now our third batch at getting the agenda decision wording correct. This paper discusses the comments we received. There were a number of comments. Only one respondent suggested that we reconsider taking the issue onto the agenda. But broadly speaking, the respondents didn't suggest that we take it back on the agenda, but they did think that the wording needed some revision. Specifically, they mostly disagreed with the statement that the predominant practice today is to exclude own credit risk, and the assertion that the committee does not expect significant diversity in practice. Most of the letters noted that they had observed or they had been made aware of entities applying IFRS that did factor in own credit risk to discount rates they used in measuring their liabilities. And the respondents also requested that the committee reconsider the wording of this decision, specifically asking that the decision state that the inclusion of credit risk in the discount rate was an acceptable interpretation of IAS 37. And went on further to request that the committee make a strong recommendation to the liabilities team to clarify this point in the new standard. So the staff recommend that the committee should consider rewording the tentative agenda decision to reflect similar wording that was published in the first one, in the November 2010 IFRIC update. We do not think that paragraph 47 of IS 37 is clear on this issue. However, we also do not think that the committee is in a position to state that own credit risk should be or should not be included in the discount rate when measuring provisions. We still think the best place for this clarity to be provided is in this new liability standard. So, having said that, Appendix A sets out our recommended wording for this third crack at the tentative agenda decision. So questions for the committee, do you agree with this recommendation? And if so, do you have any further comments on the wording, Appendix A?
Bernd has been dying to get in on this one.
Yes, thank you. I disagree. I was not happy with the wording when we first issued it, and I'm not happy if we go back to the original wording, because I think own credit risk is not specific to the liability. This was partly mitigated by the second part, which we included after a number of comment letters from all around the world that we received to our first agenda decision, didn't we? Now we received a number of comment letters from one part of the world to our second agenda decision, and now we swing back. I think that's I'm not sure that this is the way we should do it. I think it's as I said before, it's not part of the risk of the liability. I think it should not be included. And when I read the comment letters, especially from one of the big four, It looks to me as if they intend to, if we have it as before, then between the lines you may read that they intend to go back to their preparers and say, well, look at this tentative agenda decision, which is not authoritative, you know, all that. But it says it could be included, so we force you to include it. And I'm afraid that this might happen to some companies. So to me, this seems to be a Canadian problem, because most of the comment letters come from Canada, especially from Canadian oil industry. So if it is a Canadian flavor, maybe Sean can comment on that, or maybe it's a US GAAP problem, and converting from US GAAP to IFRS, the Canadians have this problem. The rest of the world does not seem to have the problem. So I'm not happy with going back to the original wording. At least we should rephrase the second sentence of the second paragraph, because as it is written now, it could be read as if you can very well include it into into IAS 37, and I don't think that's correct.
Thank you for that academic reading. Incidentally, my take on the one comment letter that said it might be possible was to say it implies that it is still correct to say the predominant practice is to exclude it. And if you think about it, and if there is a particular reason why you would include it, then that may be acceptable, as opposed to being silent and implying that anything goes. But we'll see what comments come forward. Jean-Louis?
I share exactly the direction expressed by Bernd, and I think there are, in my view, two solutions, either to keep the agenda decision as modified, making reference to the predominant practice, or to suppress the second sentence, saying the committee observed that paragraph 47 of IS 37 states that risk specific to the liability should be taken into account in measuring the liability, because we say what is in the text, and we don't open any further step or any further idea to a diverse interpretation. So that would be my suggestion.
Yep. Andrew?
Well, I share some of Bant's thoughts, but I do think that, as a matter of fact, a non-authoritative agenda decision will not change practice where there is diversity, and that's why, given the importance of the issue, I think my vote would be for taking it on the agenda, rather than waiting for the liabilities project, which I'm not quite sure what time frame we're thinking of, and that's way off, is my latest understanding. So that's why I think we have to acknowledge there is diversity in practice in a significant area, and that we should consider taking on the agenda.
I'll ask Alan about that in a moment or two. Scott?
Feeling like I have no spine on this issue. The first time we thought that, you know, there's diversity, then we got a few letters and said, oh, apparently there isn't diversity, and then we got a few more letters, and now it feels like there's diversity again. So each time I have agreed with the staff's proposed solution. So the fact that solution keeps changing from meeting to meeting apparently doesn't bother me. I'm not sure. But I think I agree where we are now. We were right in the first place. Turns out there is diversity. Maybe the diversity isn't exactly what we thought it was. But, you know, even if the diversity is, you know, everybody in Canada does it one way and everybody elsewhere does it the other way, well, that still sounds like significant diversity when we don't think that the literature is clear. The one thing we don't seem to be changing from meeting to meeting is the sentence that says paragraph 47 of IAS 37 is not clear. So we now have evidence that people are indeed reading it different ways. Sounds like there is diversity. Take Andrew's point. Maybe we want to try to resolve that diversity through taking it on, but the agenda decision seems like still needs to read roughly like the staff has it drafted now, and we can discuss again whether we want to take this on the agenda. I haven't thought about taking it on the agenda again, but that's, I guess, something we can talk about if others agree with Andrew.
Okay. Guido?
Well, I think it's the solution that we are proposing here is the worst of all that I could think about, because either we have a lot of diversity in practice, and not only for US GAAP Canadian preparers that are not applying IFRS yet, as I understand it. If there is a lot of diversity amongst other companies that apply IFRS already, we should address it and not wait up until the board takes it on, because that's really an important issue. If there is no diversity or very minor diversity, with the exception of Canadians that want to apply IFRS in the future, then we would increase diversity with what we are saying here. So I would opt for either taking it on the agenda or urge the board to take it in the annual improvement project, because we need a quick fix here. I think the way
annual improvement will not be a quick fix, because that would only be something. No, seriously, the timing of that is that this would then only go into annual improvements in the next cycle. You couldn't make the current cycle. So you're talking about an annual improvement that is going to be effective 2 years out?
It would be 2013 at the earliest, yes.
Probably earlier than the provision project.
Well, anyway.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Yes. So then it should be an interpretation then. I hope that we can decide upon it, because I think this is a very important issue. And the wording as it is right now, I would not agree with it, because it's really either it's increasing diversity that we have, or it's ignoring that we do not have diversity. And
So without asking you for all the details, you will be more comfortable with the position that we had previously?
Yes.
Not previously.
But if you cannot... previously... the one that we had before this one. But if there is diversity in practice out there, and not only for the Canadian companies, I think we should try to take it on the agenda.
Okay. Regulator's Corner.
Thank you. I wanted to say that I agree that the mandate wording will create diversity, even if there is none right now. And therefore, I think it is a concern to us. And I don't know what is the solution. Probably not to wait until IS 37 is revised. So maybe taking this item onto the agenda would be a good idea.
Okay. Now, Alan, I've got to put you on the spot, because my understanding is that the IS 37 project is actually on the board's agenda, but that activity on it is currently deferred until completion of the major projects.
Yeah, I can see it coming back either July or September. We're not meeting in August, but I can see it being back on the agenda September. The staff have written a paper on recognition, for example, that's not related to this in essence, but we're about to place on our website a staff paper explaining what the intention was in terms of recognition, and it deals with liabilities, lawsuits and things like that, for example, and that's an indication that we're trying to get some more of the thinking out there and trying to sort of dampen down fears that we're trying to completely rewrite 37. We've made a commitment that if we do, we will re-expose the whole package again, so it will be an ED. And if that's the case, it could be, it's always hard to judge these things, but it could be a relatively short thing, because what we're doing is basically a tie-up of 37. So there's a possibility that by October, November, we could have another ED out.
Okay, now before I let Jean have a little bit of soul searching on here, if I can make an observation at all about what I know of the extractive activity and also the Canadian situation, if you are about to adopt IFRS, I would encourage you to adopt it in the same way that the rest of the world appears to have adopted it, rather than continuing to use a Canadian GAAP type of approach and then finding perhaps in a year or 2 years' time that you've got to change accounting for your provisions. But the key issue, I think, is whenever I see one industry, and particularly in one country, but certainly one industry complaining, I have to question why they're complaining and what the change is. Many in the extractive industry, for environmental reasons, have to post a bond or a government guarantee or some other assurance that they will be able to meet their environmental obligation when it falls due several years into the future. They do that because, not to put too fine a point on it, people in the extractive industry, particularly the smaller ones, exploit, pillage, rape, and then disappear with all the money and leave the mess behind for other people to clear up. The essence of paragraph 47 is not to look at the credit risk of the entity as a whole. It is to look at the risks specific to the liability. And a liability that is fully covered by a bond, or these days you can't say it's fully covered by a bank guarantee, but to the extent that there is some additional security in there, typically there is a smaller credit risk that exists. I'm not suggesting that the people that have written to us have any wish to manipulate their financial results, but the effect of having a larger discount rate by taking into account credit than the risk-free rate is that you have a smaller provision, a smaller liability. I don't think that's the issue. It's a question of what you do in reversing that provision. And IAS 37 is clear, as Jean-Louis has been looking at it earlier as well, that the provision is reversed, the unwinding of the discount, as a finance cost, not as an operating cost. So in other words, there is perhaps a difference in the geography within the profit and loss statement as to where the provision costs are actually placed. So the bigger the discount, the less is actually a cash operating cost. Again, I come back to the comment about EBITDA. EBITDA means that financing cost is excluded. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's what your industry is wanting to do. I think it's more likely that they are continuing on the basis that they were accounting before. But if they're the only ones in the world who feel that they should be including own credit risk in these provisions, then I would encourage you to speak to them and suggest that they look at what others in the world are doing in the IFRS world. 47 may arguably not be as clear and precise as it should be, but it does talk about risks specific to the liability, not risks applicable to the entity. But Jean-Louis, I'm sure you have some views that you'd like to share with us now. Jean-Paré, sorry. Jean-Louis was nodding in agreement.
He's still looking for the paragraph.
Yeah, as an independent committee member, I'll make some comments. Well, what you're saying is debating what the right answer should be, debating the issues. What's in front of us is what is the whether we can state that diversity in practice is diversity in practice or not. I don't believe it's only the Canadians. The Canadians are focused on this issue I'm not too sure. I'm not in this industry. I'm not too sure what the focus. You made some assumption that may be true. It may be that it's just that's the way we account for it historically, and we just want to keep accounting for it this way. I think it's also an issue in the U.S. I think that's the exactly same accounting in the U.S. So if it could be that there are some issuers in the U.S. that are IFRS reporting issuers, and that they will have the exact same issues. And in addition, there are three international auditing firms that have responded on that and probably share that view. So I don't want to really debate what's the right answer, but I don't think we can issue agenda decision saying that there's no diversity in practice when we know there is. Canada is there, by the way.
No, we didn't say there's no diversity in practice.
Okay, well, I'm just saying we can't issue that. And I will echo what I've heard. If either we wait for a revision of IAS 37, and we put it on the agenda and we debate the fundamental of this issue, and we try to come up with a. But I don't think this debate has taken place, and I don't think we're ready to change the decision to say what's the answer, I guess.
We need to just focus our minds on this, because the decision was taken before not to add this to the agenda. It doesn't meet the requirements to add to the agenda. Now, unless you are convinced that we got that wrong in the first place by not having sufficient information, I'm not going to go back and revisit that decision. The question is whether or not we make a statement now in here about what we believe is the predominant practice. And we believed until we got these letters from the Canadian oil and gas industry that the predominant practice around the world was, in fact, not to include credit risk, the company's own general credit risk, in the determination of the discount rate that was applied to these types of provisions. Now, I think, because this is non-authoritative, that we can include that statement if we still believe it to be correct. And that's expressing our view of what the majority of businesses are actually doing in practice, and therefore it's a correct reflection. It's not requiring people to do that. It's reminding them of what the requirements of paragraph 47 of IS 37 say, and then to consider in their own circumstances what they're going to do. Now, I would be somewhat hesitant to say that the board actually is going to finish its deliberations on IS 37 by the end of this year. It will take some time to go through there. But I think that the issue of own credit in determining a liability is actually a small part of determining what the liability is. Because if you're not actually focused on the right elements of that liability and then discounting it back, the discounting is actually just such a small part of it that we are trying to fix a bit that doesn't really matter until you fix the whole. So the board's focus, I think, is on measure the extent of the liability, including the discount rate and the suitability of whether you include general credit or specific credit or no credit in the discount rate that's applied to that. So, without taking any more comments, because we've actually frightened Lucy by taking such a long time over this at the moment.
I don't scare you. I'm the stripping queen of them.
And your microphone was on. So I will never apologize for referring to you in that way again. So I just want a show of hands. Those who would prefer that we kept with the wording on the previous occasion when we referred to the predominant practice as not including own credit risk. Who would agree with that? And those who would disagree with that approach? So on that basis,
7-4.
So with four objecting, I propose that we go back to, well, not propose we go back, I propose we confirm the wording that we had previously published as the tentative agenda decision.
In which month?
January.
Right.
Previous, not previous, previous.
We have two previous.
No, only one previous. The other one's previous squared. Andrew?
So the reason I objected, Bob, is because I think there's a real danger we'll do harm to the credibility of the IFRIC agenda decision process. If we go back to where we were before, I think, as a matter of reality, it will be ignored and things will carry on as they are in Canada. I'm not sure what that does for the credibility of the...
Sorry, Andrew, to interrupt. You say carry on as things were before in Canada. Canada wasn't accounting under IFRS until this current year. The issue has arisen now. This is an opportunity where they can join what we think is the predominant practice in the rest of the world.
But my intelligence says they won't unless there's something authoritative. And that's why I vote for taking on the agenda.
Well, I understand that, but I said I'm not going to consider that. I'm afraid the lesson for the Canadians is if you want a rules-based system, you should have stayed with US GAAP. If you want to come to a principle-based system means making judgments, but considering the way that other people around the world also come to the determination of those judgments. And if you want a rule that says, or if you want a book of rules that says, I will do it this way unless you show me where it says I can't, then I'm sorry, that's the wrong philosophy for adopting IFRS. Our objective is to have IFRS understood by people to the best extent that we can. If you think it's worth the energy of this committee deliberating whether to include own credit risk, general own credit risk, within a discount rate, then I would question whether that's a proper use of the committee's time, and the consequence of dealing with such narrow issues is that this is going to be a full-time committee.
I would have one question to Alan as to whether he's got any intelligence whether the board will deal with this issue when they're looking at it again, because I don't think they've talked about it so far in their deliberations on the liabilities project.
No, I think you're right. As far as I'm aware, they haven't considered this as a specifically. The onus is on us to make sure that it does come to their attention. There's no point putting out the same words again and having the same problem. So what we all can do is convey it to the team, so when it does come back, it's something we do look at.
I'm loath to continue the discussion unless there is some compelling reason. We've taken a vote, we've taken a decision, which is to confirm the tentative agenda decision. Sorry. Everybody wants to come in, so let's take you in turn. Patrick?
Judy? Just a drafting point. The wording sounds very definitive. The committee noted that prominent practice is as if you really did a nose count, and I'm not sure you did a complete nose count. So maybe it's something like you believe based on outreach or believe based on comment letters. I just think it would be fair to me it seems to overstate at least my impression of the amount of research. It sounds a very definitive.
Well, the members of this committee presumably have access, in the case of the firms, to their international networks, in the case of the regulators, to your network of businesses. And I listen to the comments that you make. You're selected because of your broad knowledge of IFRS on a global basis. And that's all it is. It's not on the basis of comment letters, not on the basis of any research, not on the basis of any survey that's being carried out. It's on the basis of what the committee has concluded. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my observation.
Other answers?
Yeah, I have two due process issues. The first one is that a rejection is going to state something that has, for which no evidence has been brought to IFRIC committee members.
Now, that's incorrect, because this is based on discussions that the IFRIC had. That's why we changed it at the previous meeting. If you want, you can go back and you can listen to the recording of the meeting and the discussions that were there. Now, if you're alleging that anything that is said by any member in here is to be ignored, then that's a whole different ball game we're playing with. I rely on the comments of the committee members to inform other committee members of their view and their assessment of what practice is.
Secondly, it is ignoring. So, if I understand, the rejection, is the rejection going to assert that the committee does not expect diversity to rise in practice?
Significant.
Then I disagree, because we know there is diversity, and not just in Canada.
You voted against it. That's fine. Sarah? Sarah?
I just have a question about what we're actually going to say. I had thought we said we were going to go back to what the wording was in the January IFRIC update. But in that, we just have two paragraphs. And in this agenda decision wording we have now, we have this third paragraph that says the committee noted the request for guidance would be best addressed as part of the board's project. Are we also going to include that paragraph or not?
Well, I think that's what Alan has just confirmed, yes.
So we're not exactly going back to what we said in January. We're going to leave paragraph 2 as it was in January, and we're fixing to add paragraph 3, yeah?
Yes, that's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what I understand.
But we're not actually going to say twice that we aren't taking it to the agenda. We'll just say that once.
Yes.
So there, okay, all right. I just wanted to know what we were going to say.
Okay. And then the other tentative decision. That's Denise. Thanks, Lucy.